Welcome back to the Avery Adventures podcast. This is podcast number 56, and we are going to be doing a Q&A on all the questions that we've received from Facebook and Instagram. So, starting off, this one comes from Instagram. They are wondering Maven B1 or B2, and they want more magnification. So what do you recommend?
Well, if they want the most magnification and the best binocular the Maven has, it's definitely the B2.
We've received a lot of good feedback about the B2. So.
Yeah, there's definitely, in my opinion, obviously, it's the B2 is still underrated. The B1 is, it's okay. It's not nothing earth-shattering. It's not anything that I would probably buy the Meoptas or the Nikon HGs over the B1s. But the B2s are, in my opinion, the next level up. I don't know what price range you'd say that is, but they're super bright. They are big binoculars. I mean, they're a little longer, a little taller, a little heavier, but they're definitely, those 11x45s are definitely deadly on a tripod.
So what's the difference between the B1 and the B2? Is it the magnification or?
No,
the...
they use a different, I think it's the same glass per se, but they use a different prism in the B2s, and it just makes them much brighter.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So the next question comes to us from Facebook. They are wanting to know a long-range rifle that is packable, and which would you pick between a 338 Edge, a 338 HCM, or a 338 SnipeTac?
Man, those are big boys.
That's what I was thinking. They look so apparent. Well, he says that they want packable, so I guess I don't know how they're going to pack them, but packable, he wants something for long distance.
Yeah, to me, packable has to be like maybe 10 to 11 pounds and under. Hopefully under a lot. But the HCM is actually something Bertram worked on. It's used to be the old called the Raptor from can't think of the guy, Kirby Allen. He made the Raptor, and then they... Him and Bruce had a falling out on that brass, so they made the 338 HCM, which is it's a long Lapua. It's on a Lapua. Basically, it's a piece of Lapua brass that's just elongated like 3/8 of an inch. But out of those three, if you want it packable, I'd definitely go with the 338 Edge, because even at that, it's still gonna have some wallop. It's gonna kick both ways. There's no way to make in my opinion, make a packable SnipeTac. Because the SnipeTac is 140 grains of powder, shoots a 300 grain bullet at 3,300 feet per second. There's just no, I can't see any way you'd be able to shoot that accurately and be able to spot your own hits in the 10, 11 pound range, or definitely not under. And the HCM, I mean, it may fit that bill, but you're still going to have to run a 30 inch barrel on either one of the SnipeTac or the HCM just to get the speed that you want out of it.
So are any of those guns or something comparable available with those folding stocks that we've seen before at some of the shows?
Oh, you can build. I mean, if you're doing a build, I have that. We have the HCM that was I had on the tripod the other day. Mm-hmm. And it comes with a XLR folding chassis. So it has a 31-inch barrel, and it folds over, and it folds down to like 38 inches. But it's so you can definitely make them shorter.
So I guess, I mean, probably they should have clarified if by packable they meant a lighter weight or if they meant dimensions.
I'm going to guess that they mean lighter weight.
Yeah.
But I mean that both, all three of those. So if you take say they're all 30 inch barrels, the Edge is going to shoot 2850 to 2900, the 300 grain bullet. The HCM is going to shoot somewhere 3150, 3200. And the SnipeTac is going to shoot 3250 to 33 plus. But the difference is that you gain a whole lot of powder for not a whole lot of increase in speed. You're talking 90 grains in the Edge. You're talking 120, 118, maybe 115 to 120 in the 338 HCM. And you're talking almost 140 grains of powder with a total velocity spread of about 400 feet per second-ish. So the powder amount is substantial over the speed amount. But once you say packable, I mean weight, and the packable, there's just no way I'm packing in 16 pound or 15 pound or even a 14, 13 pound HCM or SnipeTac in there. You could make the HCM lighter, probably around the 12-pound mark. Is that packable to you? I don't know. It used to be packable to me when I was younger, but it sure the heck isn't packable now.
Right. It seems like that's kind of a subjective question. So for rounds for all of these three, is there one that, like, would that be a factor just in versatility?
Well, you could shoot 250 out of them, but I don't know why you would. I mean, some people, I'm sure there are people out there that argue what I have to say about it, but.
Because it would have to be long range, so.
Well, 250 would kill long range. It's just, to me, when you get to the 338 and you're talking about, those are all pretty hot rodding, maybe not the 338 edge so much, but it's still pushing it hard. I guess if you wanted to decrease the recoil even more, you could run like a 26 inch or 28 inch barrel edge with a 250. To get a little more speed out of it.
Would you put a brake on that too?
You'd have to have a brake on all of them.
Less recoil. Gotcha.
Or you'd just rip your...
rip your arm off? That'd be awkward for a hunt.
Scoop your eye out.
Okay. Yeah, that also would be an issue for a hunt. Always fun in games till you lost an eye. All right, this one comes from Instagram for me. What backpack and frame do you use of Kafaru's? I use the 22 mag. I think that's the one I've always used. I'm, you know, open to trying different packs out, but that just seems to fit the bill for me. It has the, I don't know if you call it like a U-zipper on the outside edge that just zips all the way around so you can find stuff easily in it. I don't like the ones that open up from the top that are just like a stuff sack almost that you have to dig through and inevitably. Well, that is what I used for the first year. It was the T3, right?
T3, yep.
And I hated it because, well, one, it wasn't fit for me. It was one of your old packs, but I hated how I couldn't seem to find anything from it because it was the only way to access it was through the top. Some people really like that.
Those are nice. I like the the EMR2 that had a full-length middle zipper, but pretty much everything I have now has a zipper in it somewhere to get into it.
And I have the 22-inch frame, correct?
Yep, we messed with that a little bit. 22 mag and a 22-inch frame.
Yeah, that makes it easy to remember. But I know that other girls that are about my size, or some of them a little bit smaller, can use a bigger frame just so they can get into like a bigger bag if they're going to be carrying more weight. I don't choose to do that because I feel like the 22 mag that I have fits as much weight as I can physically carry. So to me, it makes most sense for me to have that frame that fits perfectly and a bag that still can haul a lot. I had that whole rack on my back, plus
all your camp.
All my camp for what we had packed for 4 days, right? 4 or 5 days that we had planned to stay there for my elk hunt. So it does look small probably to a lot of people when you're comparing it with other Kafaru packs because they make ginormous packs.
Yeah.
But to me, I feel like I'm 5'5", I weigh 130. That is a perfect fit for me for what I can physically carry. And it doesn't have an excessive amount of pockets to lose stuff in, but it has just enough that I can keep it organized so I can find stuff.
Yeah, and it has a load sling, which, you know, load shelf, load sling, whatever you want to call it, and it definitely gives you a little more room for error on the loads in and out, because mm-hmm. you can take it off and put the meat between the frame and the bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you've used it to pack out a bear, one of our spring bears, just like a impromptu system just to get it out. But yeah, so that's what I use, and it works great for me. Maybe down the road I'll switch it up and try something different, but so far it's fit the bill for all of my needs so far. The next question comes from us from Instagram. What sound were you using on your Fox Pro to call in the wolf you shot?
It was Justin that did all that, but it was a coyote pup in distress, and it worked several times. We killed two wolves. I killed one, Jeff killed one, and then they actually had called in the middle days, they got into that pack again and called in another one that they didn't get a shot at. So coyote pups in distress. But I talked to a guy a couple weeks ago at one of the shows, and he's had a lot of luck calling in with moose calf in distress. Hmm. So I'm thinking that.
So just any kind of baby species.
Yeah. Like distress, easy targets, mm-hmm. something that's easy to get to. Sounds like that would be the way to go.
This next question comes from Instagram. Any experience with the 82 millimeter Night Force spotting scope? And your thoughts on that, if you have any experience with it?
I've never used it, but I can't say that. I've looked through it, but I can't tell you without a doubt that it's good, bad, or ugly. I have a strong indication that it's just a rebranded Miopta spotter, the S2, and that's a fantastic spotter. So if they use that same glass that's inside that Miopta S2 spotter, it'd be fantastic. And if they upgrade it, it'd even be better. I know that it costs more than the Miopta one, and if all they did is put the camo job on it, a little bit of a face paint with that knurling stuff, I don't think it'd be worth it. I'd just get the S2.
From Miopta. Yeah. Okay. This seems like a loaded question. This comes from Facebook. What's the lightest weight rifle you can shoot up to 1,000 yards effectively with?
Oh, man.
That's, I guess, assuming that you're a proficient shooter.
Yeah, but I mean, what's the end goal? Are you shooting steel?
Yeah, or a deer or an elk?
You can shoot a 223 a long ways, but I wouldn't shoot it at an elk. I'd say, if we're just going to go off minimums and say we're hunting deer, I mean, you can build a 6.5 PRC like we did this year, mm-hmm. and I would have no doubt and no qualms, and we practice a lot at shooting a deer at 1,000 yards with a 6.5 PRC with the 147 ELDM. Mm-hmm. Could you shoot an elk that far with it? Absolutely, but you have far less margin for error, and anybody that says they never make a bad shot just hasn't hunted it long enough, or they just are lying.
Right.
Because you do make bad shots.
Well, there's always variables. Wind, I mean, the animal can move. So
I would say elk-wise, and people, we but rock slide, it gets debated every time we bring this up. And I can't prove it factually, and they can't prove it to me that factually, but a 30 cal just kills elk faster than anything smaller. I mean, I think a 338 with a big bullet kills even faster than a 300, but as far as the weight, man, I've tried it with a 6 pound all up rifle, and I've tried it with, you know, 7 and 8 pound all up rifles. To me, at 1,000 yards, I really want a rifle that weighs 8.5 pounds or more to shoot to 1,000 yards with the heaviest weight for bullet that I can get into the gun.
So nice.
That'd be my answer.
All right. This one comes from Instagram. Have your thoughts on quilts changed?
Actually, I thought I was smarter than what I was the first time I tried it. If you go back, I think it's episode 3 or 4 when me and Aaron did the podcast on quilts. And I fucking hated them then. And for some reason in my head, I keep thinking, man, I must have done it wrong.
You've really second-guessed yourself a lot on this quilt.
Yeah, because I don't know if, I don't know. I even called and talked to a quilt manufacturer owner. And I said, this is how I'm doing it. Is this right? And I still freeze my ass off in marginal, in just temperatures I shouldn't. Like, I have a 10 degree bag and I'm freezing my butt off at 40 degrees sometimes. And I'm using it like they say. And I changed the pads because, man, maybe the sleeping pad's just not warm enough. Well, I changed to a much warmer sleeping pad. The R value is, I think it's 5 or 6. And I just freeze. So, no, I have not changed my mind on quilts. And I even went back for a second taste of the quilt, and they still suck, in my opinion. And if somebody can tell me how to do it better, please email ryan@averyventures.com, because I put the, I don't know. I don't know what to say about quilts, because they have a big love affair. And I'm like, are these guys using them? And I don't want to knock in the guys that really are and like them, because they're prior out there. But to this day, I'll have a good night in a quilt, and then I'll freeze for 2 nights. And sometimes I'm out there for 4 or 5 nights, and I don't want to be freezing all night and have a bad night's sleep, and then the next 2 days are shitty, and I can't focus because I haven't slept in 2 days. So, no, I do not like quilts.
Well, that just seems like, I mean, yeah, you save on weight, but then the versatility you do not, because you could, you know, have your sleeping bag on you, you know, glassing in it. You know, it's sleeping, right. It just seems like, even though it's not going to be a weight savings, it's just gonna be a better option in the end.
Yeah, and I say this, and I shouldn't probably bring this up again, but there's a quilt, the Katabatic quilt, I think's the name, how you say it, and I haven't tried those, and man, they have a little different way that they do it over the Enlighten equipment ones, because the lighting equipment ones are the ones I freeze my butt off in. And this catabatic ones, they just have a different way they attach the strap, and they just seem maybe a little beefier. So
we have heard a lot about those.
Even though I have, say, never, and I froze my ass off trying them two different times, 3 years apart, basically. I may be back to the quilt one more time
future.
Because you guys don't hear it all, but I bitched to Tanya, and like, this thing froze my ass off, couldn't sleep. And if you don't sleep right, I mean, you're not going to have a good hunting. And if you have to walk a lot, obviously, you're out there hunting, and you're not, you don't get a good night's sleep, you just don't have a good day, and you're always behind that tired curve.
Well, and I just, to me, my philosophy is, and for what? To try to prove that something, like you're trying to put a square peg in a round hole, like that just is what it seems like to me, is like you're just trying so hard to make something work that's just not going to work for you. So why keep doing it? To me, it just doesn't make sense. Like besides the, and really, how much weight are you saving? What's the weight difference?
Well, that's the key. That's the thing is I have that Mountain Hardware Ghost Whisper one now.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's 1 pound, 6 ounces. So I ain't giving up. I'm not giving up a lot, but it's just, I keep on reading how great they are. And in my mind, I'm like, how am I fucking this up? And I truly don't believe I am, but I'm not staying warm at night. So obviously, quilts aren't for me, but I can't say I won't ever use them again.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that. I'm not going to lie.
No, and it's like, I'm usually very definitive on things, but for some reason, this quilt thing just has
it
me.
It really has made you flustered, I have to say.
Yeah, because it's just how... What are these guys doing to make it work? Or are they in a different environment? I mean, I would say 70% or 65% of my hunting in Northern Idaho or Northwest Montana side. And it's cold and wet and clammy. And I don't know.
I think the difference is that people that you know in conditions that you have been in are having success with it. And you're not a cold sleeper. You don't run cold. So I think that that's why it's bugging you so bad, is that why it's not working for you, because it seems like it should in all respects work for you.
I usually, in a sleeping bag, I always get hot.
Yeah.
So I'm always peeling stuff off, and I sleep in base layers or underwear even. And I don't know. I mean, we beat this to death, but it's not like I'm not trying.
Right.
I'm putting forth my best effort with this quilt.
No, you've tried multiple quilts that I've had to hear about. Okay. Let's move on. This also comes from Instagram. This person was planning a visit to Idaho for an elk hunt in December. They are curious about what you would recommend for sleeping bag temp rating and boot insulation weight. Two questions that are very subjective.
Yeah, did they say North Idaho or Southern Idaho?
I believe it was North Idaho.
Well, North Idaho, you're definitely going to be wet and it's going to have snow. And the temperatures can range from 50 degrees to negative 20 degrees sometimes.
And do you run hot or do you run cold? Because that's a big factor.
In December, I'd definitely want a 0-degree bag and have a puffy, you know, maybe a puffy puffy layered, both top and bottom.
Yeah.
And a quality bag, because I just talked about that Mountain Hardware Ghost Whisper.
Mm-hmm.
They make a 20-degree, but even if they made a 0-degree bag, but they're just trying to cut corners there and go light,
mm-hmm.
I would want something substantial like a Western Mountaineering or a Kefaru Slick bag or a Wiggy's bag, you know, something that's a quality bag.
Have you used that Ghost Whisper bag yet?
Yeah.
And you think that it's not as good as some of the other ones in its rating?
That's like the sewn-through baffles on the back kind of bug me, and the... you can just tell that the zipper only goes down to about your belly button, and I'm not a tall guy.
Right.
So they tried to cut corners, you know, to make it lighter. But I do think it's warm for its weight,
mm-hmm.
and it was definitely warmer than that damn quilt. But
well, I just wonder that because, you know, I'm a huge fan of the Ghost Whisper jacket, which only weighs 7 ounces. So in that same logic, I'm just surprised because, to me, they may have cut corners somewhere to make it lighter, but it sure doesn't feel like it.
Well, it's got a light, well, not on the jacket. The jacket, I think, is a little, it's not built better. It's got a light weight face on the jacket, just like the sleeping bag.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't, it could fail, mm-hmm. and you do not want to fail it.
Not in December zero. In North Idaho.
No.
Right.
And I don't know if he's hiking in or not, so if weight's a concern, right.
He didn't say.
He would have to take that into account, but I would want a quality bag, Western Mountaineering. And you don't necessarily have to have a synthetic bag, you know, throw it in a bivy, you know, mm-hmm. if you have a floored shelter. I don't know, is he sleeping on a cot? So it's kind of an open-ended question.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, we've done it both ways in North Idaho, you know, backpack. You could certainly backpack in or do truck camping with a canvas tent. Yeah. So it's really hard to say what he's doing.
Yeah, and you had condensation management is the key there. You want something definitely, obviously, between you and the ground, you know, besides mm-hmm. besides your sleeping pad. You definitely want a bivy. I would at that temperature range. Mm-hmm. And if you can get a floored shelter, I don't like floored shelters, but even in December, I would start thinking about some kind of a floored shelter, obviously. And then you'd have that protection, too.
Sure.
But
well, unless he had a canvas tent with, like, a stove.
Well, yeah, if you had that, shit, then none of this stuff really matters, because you can get away with a lot if you have a stove.
Right. Well, I mean,
even if you have a stove in, like, a sawtooth, like a fire sawtooth, mm-hmm. gee, you can get away with a lot of crap then, because you can dry stuff out.
Yeah, and that would also be, he'd be able to take those if he was backpacking in the sawtooth, and I don't know about it. I mean, I just don't know. There's too many variables that are, he unsaid. So, with the boot insulation weight.
Well, I would have said, you know, just a good 400 gram thin slit insulation boot until about a year and a half, 2 years ago. I don't know if I'm just getting old, but my feet definitely started to get colder. So I'm still on the lookout. I've switched to a pack boots, which I don't like wearing so much, but I definitely need more insulation. And obviously Tanya does too, but I moved to I have a Schnee's pack boot, I think called the Elk Hunter 2 that Robbie uses. And I'm going to try some pack boots from Hoffman's and kind of do a review on Rockslide between the two. But if you're coming up here in at that time frame, you're going to be in snow, and the snow is at least going to be 5 to 10, 12 inches deep in most places. If you're going into the higher countries in Idaho and North Idaho, it could be up to 2 or 3 feet. So I'd recommend some gaiters and some taller 10, 12, 14 inch pack boots. People keep trying to tell me about these boot blankets, which I think they do have application in a more
earlier, I've seen the cowboy boot version. I'm not
they're
sure.
Like boot blankets for, they go over your boot and they're insulation, like they basically it's like a sleeping bag for your boot. But I don't think I'd be hiking around and wanting to use those in the snowy crappy stuff in December. I think those are more for long hikes, you know, in October, maybe in November, to where you could run into some snow or cold weather.
Yeah.
To me, I'd want something pretty substantial in December in North Idaho.
Well, I don't want to jinx myself, but those Hoffman boots that I got for next year, I'm pretty excited about. I think they're going to really do the trick. They're going to be a little bit heavier, sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think that I'll need them for all the hunts, but the November mule deer hunts that I've been on, those would have been a welcome change, so yeah. I'm excited about that.
And I've been so, and I, as Tanya can attest, I spend a lot of times in the woods, but a lot of times I just say, fuck it. And I suffer through things that now I'm starting to think, man, I don't think I have to suffer if I just change my stubbornness, because boots was one of them. Cause I think they're 200 gram. I have some crispy Nevadas, which I really like, the mm-hmm. Nevada GTXs. And if you listen to any of our previous podcasts, I don't like stiff boots. So I'll wear like just this year and last 2 years, I wore the Neo Air, their hiking boot that was waterproof. It's a zero drop. It's not stiff at all. And I really like those boots, and I'll fight that all the way until my feet are starting to get cold now. So then I'll switch to those Nevada GTXs. And that's all I was using all the way through the end of November, which couldn't get into some deep snow and some really frigid temperatures. And I would be in my mind, I'd be like, oh, I just need to suffer through it. Well, now it's like, I can still do this if I use my head a little bit more and not suffer through it.
Yeah. I'm from a different school of thought, which is I'm not going to suffer if I don't have to.
Yeah, maybe rubbing off on me, because there's a lot of things that I do that I'm like, man,
I'm
making
you soft.
This is stupid. Why am I suffering? Like, I can just change one or two things and be way more comfortable.
Well, I think that with Rockslide and your accessibility to really quality products, you're finding that you don't need to suffer because there's so many great options out there. Well, no, it's just availability of stuff that you didn't used to have.
I had those before, but it's like in my mind, I was like, oh, I just got to kind of suffer through this and, you know, it'll be fine. But maybe age comes wisdom, and I'm not like I'm old, but it's just like now I think before I do things, I'm like, well, last year I knew I had this problem.
Right.
And I've been addressing those, and boots is one of them. I really don't get cold very often, but for the last couple of years, my feet have been getting cold in November.
I think that also the difference is each year progressively you're going on more hunts, and so you're starting to correlate different issues, so they're easier to identify. You know what I mean?
Even back before Rockslide, I still remember in my head, like, I hunted a lot. November was deer hunting in North Idaho. So it's always cold. It's always wet. It's snow. It's raining. And I just remember my feet always got cold. And last couple of years, I'm like, I don't want this to happen anymore.
Well, and I think a lot of times because it's cold out, people are just like, it's cold. I'm going to be cold. That's just like a cross that I'm going to have to bear with this trip. You know, I mean, I think people just, it's so easy to get into that mindset. Like, well, of course my feet are cold. It's freaking cold out here.
Yeah. You know, but I think if there's sometimes not all guys, but me, it's like, you got to suffer through this because it's just,
yeah.
Because
if you don't suffer, it's not going to somehow be enjoyable.
Well, it is. I mean, half if you do any backcountry hunting and you camp with your back, I mean, if you backpack hunt, you know, suffering's part of it, and that's what makes it memorable.
Right.
Tandy doesn't
in a bad way.
School of thought, but that's the way it is.
Yeah. All right. Let's do one more question, then we'll wrap it up. This one actually is for me. It came from Instagram. What jacket are you wearing in the post of your mule deer hunt this year? That was a Sitka Women's Fanatic jacket, and it actually worked out fabulous for that hunt. I know it was designed for whitetail hunters, more specifically, but just in the conditions that I knew we were going to most likely run into in that unit at that time of year, I thought that it would be a really good match. So I got a hold of one, and it worked great. It was, it's hard to explain. It wouldn't work well in an area that is like super rainy. Like it wouldn't, I could have thrown a rain jacket over it and it would have worked okay, I think. So that would be an option, but it was nice having a really super thick, warm women's jacket in those temperatures. And I'm trying to remember, I know that we at least had like 20 degree winds or 20 mile per hour winds, and it was pretty cold most of the time, snowing sideways and stuff.
Down in Southern Idaho, especially in Eastern Idaho, it's just always windy.
Yeah.
So you had some wind chills probably in the 15 miles, 15 degree range with the wind chill.
Yeah. And most of the spots that we were hunting were like on a mountainside. So we were, fully exposed to it. And then I was wearing the Sitka Fanatic hat too. I did want to note that, well, first of all, this is now, and maybe it's a whitetail tree stand thing, I don't really get. It has a really odd, like, cross zipper, and I can't explain it except that it goes from, like, the left collarbone sideways all the way to, like, your right hip.
It's so you can have that pocket.
Yeah.
It's so you have that little kangaroo pocket.
It's definitely so you can have that little pocket in the middle. It doesn't go through the middle of the jacket, but it was weird. It was super weird to get used to, but eventually I got used to it, and I would never really use that pocket that I can think of, but it was okay.
Well, if you're in a tree stand, it's for hand warmer.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and that's why I said, this jacket wasn't made for the type of mule deer hunting, like Western mule deer hunting, I guess. I don't know. It was made for whitetail hunting. The men's line, they just redid the Fanatic jacket for the men's line in January. We went to a informational breakfast, and they are doing some really super cool stuff with that men's Fanatic jacket. So I think, I don't know, I'm kind of weird. I have really long arms and I can a lot of times fit into a men's small. So I would almost be curious to try and see how that fits because they run a little bit longer, men's stuff, and the arms are a little bit longer. So I would be very curious to try on a small men's of the Fanatic jacket because they made it warmer and they made it quieter. That's also an option for women, you know, in some pieces. It sometimes does work out okay. Or like a youth extra large if they have those availabilities. So you don't have to just kind of stay in the women's, you know, genre and get stuck in that. If you are willing to at least try on a few things, then they might actually end up fitting you.
Yeah, they also pick up a lot of burrs as a downside.
Oh, yeah, that was the downside to those. They have those little sticky burrs down in southern Idaho, which we do not have in north Idaho. And that jacket would be full of them. So I suppose if I threw the super light Sitka rain jacket over the top, then I wouldn't have that issue because they wouldn't stick to that. But yeah.
Be louder though.
It'd be a lot louder. So okay, well, I think that wraps it up. Well, depending on the amount of questions that we get, we'll do these maybe once every week or every other week, just depending on how many questions we get. So if you guys have any questions, just email them to Tanya at Avery Adventures and I'll write them down so we can cover them on the podcast. Thanks, guys.